Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's a Riverdale after show. Jughead is telling tales. Mr. Honey really fails. The parents come together as a horde. Hey, have you ever been Mableboard? Did? Hey, everybody. It's the Riverdale after show, breaking down what is now the season finale of Riverdale that just aired this past Sunday, or past Wednesday on the CW. Yeah. I'm Frank Moran.
And I'm Katie, and I'm manning the chat again. So welcome, everybody. I know we were chatting a little bit before, but thanks for being here.
Absolutely. And as always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And again, thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. But if you're watching after we stream live, feel free to comment down below. We're going to be doing our usual class president and class clown, so start chiming in with your thoughts about that. And we've got a little bit of news that Katie has from the blue and gold at the end of the show. But before we dive into all the details of what is now the season finale of Riverdale, Katie, what did you think overall?
I'm trying to think of like a number rating. I think I'll give it like a 7.5 as far as a season finale goes. And given the circumstances of them not being able to conclude it the way they originally planned, I was quite pleased with it. I feel like it gave good closure for them being seniors, and I felt like we got more back to the fact that these are in fact teenagers and there are adults there and they're dealing with the natural things that high schooler seniors have to deal with. So I enjoyed that.
As we're kind of coming together for this, I mean, it just serendipitously ended on a nice little creepy ending that served really well for a season finale. So I could see why they didn't try to take some footage from partially shot future episodes and try to incorporate it in to make something different to give it a little bit more firmer of a resolution. I thought this just did a good enough job standing alone as it was.
Yeah.
Your mileage may vary about how you enjoyed this episode, because it is pretty much two stories, one real and one fictional.
Yes.
And the amount of time that you wanted to see spent in the fictional one, I don't know, given how little it really meant to everything. But we'll talk about that. So two storylines that come out of this, all stemming from the fact that, it looks like the prom is not going to happen, and Principal Honey decided to shut down the yearbook. No yearbook this year. Sorry, guys. Katie, were you really concerned about your senior yearbook?
Well, I had a different high school experience than probably most of the people watching, because I lived in a small town for my first 3 years of high school. I only went to 1 year of public high school, which was my senior year. So I was excited. I bought the yearbook as like a memoir for the 1 year I spent at that school. But as for anything else, I didn't have anything other than my one little picture of saying, this, she went here. That's all I had. So for me, if it had been canceled, I don't know that it would have affected me. But to the people who have a bigger journey and are very involved in athletics and all these other school experiences, I can see why that would be something they wouldn't want. But I did make the yearbook for my tiny one-room schoolhouse. In high school, when I was in high school, I made it. It was a full yearbook for every grade, and it was fun. It was a fun experience. I got to go on some other field trips because I was also the photographer, so I got to go on some class trips that other people didn't get to go on. And so for people who created, it would be a bummer for sure.
All right, so let's take a 15-second tangent on this. Let's break down what we'd imagine, because we're not going to get a chance to see the blue and gold Riverdale High yearbook. What do you imagine any of the casts in characters' high school yearbook photos for their senior year would be like? I mean, I could imagine like Archie with his guitar maybe playing.
Okay, yeah.
Jughead with busily like typewriting and then like maybe looking up like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm just casually telling
you. Yeah, like. I would say Cheryl would just be some like super high produced photo portrait of her just being awesome. I don't know that she'd necessarily be doing anything. Maybe in her Riverdale, you know, Vixens shirt, since that was her experience. And Betty, I don't know. I feel like hers would probably be like a tape recorder or something like that with her.
I'd almost like want to see like Betty with like a giant magnifying glass, like holding it up like, ah, I've been searching for clues. And I would, maybe Veronica, I could see her with the picture of Hiram, like tearing it up, but then also maybe like taping it up as well at the same time. Yeah. Like so, all right, folks, if you have any ideas for what any of the characters' senior yearbook photos would look like, feel free to place them in the chat. So once, but you know what? Betty is so offended that the yearbook is being canceled because she was 2 days late and Principal Honey said, hey, I needed this 2 days ago. And I also said I need to approve every single page. And Betty is so offended at this. I have to agree with Principal Honey on this because I'm sure he reminded her like, hey, I need this. Yeah, this is the deadline because I need to review everything.
Yeah.
So I don't see why she's so mad. Like, oh yeah, I kind of ate it. Sorry.
I didn't understand that either. Any sort of newspaper or yearbook or school produced thing has to be edited. I mean, I know our yearbooks had to be edited multiple times for typos, not just for that alone, but to make sure all the pictures are fine and everyone's being represented. I didn't see him as the bad guy in that situation. I was a little irritated that like she thought it would be fine. Anything goes, however she wants it to be. I found that was a little weird.
Yeah, especially where it's, so she, when the deadline hit, she didn't say, hey, Principal Honey, is there any way that I can get an extension? She doesn't mention that to him at all. She just showed up 2 days late and said like, here you go. It's all ready to check out.
Yeah.
So she leaves that and then goes and talks to the rest of the gang and says, oh, well, we're not getting a senior yearbook. That's great. Half of us aren't, pretty much all of us, except for Archie and Jughead, aren't going to prom. And then Betty just kind of catches her, sort of like, you know, we should really kill Mr. Honey. That was so weird. I mean, I feel like storyline-wise, I see that why that was said, because it needed to kind of spark Jughead to have the idea like, oh, I'll write a story about that. But it just isn't casual conversation.
Yeah.
It's just really weird to throw out to your friends, like, yeah, we should really kill the principal. I can't, Kitty, I mean, I know you only went to a big public school for 1 year.
Yes.
But how many death threats did you try to start towards any of the teachers there?
I'm pretty sure none.
So it seems so weird.
I don't recall having any death threats on anyone, not just in high school. I mean, in general, in life. So, I mean, yeah, I may not have liked certain people, but, you know, I mean, you're not going to see them in 2 months of your life. Like, they're going to be out of the picture once you graduate.
Yeah.
You know, so on a side note, external shockwave, because we've always been having this discussion about, like, is Honey a bad guy? Is he a good guy? And Eternal Shockwave said, that's why I like Honey as a principal. He's an actual authoritarian. So I agree with you, Eternal Shockwave. We did see him actually be a principal, which the school hasn't really had. And they're not used to someone fighting them back.
So. No, that's true. I mean, I did like, you know, Cheryl thinking, like, hey, it's cool that I could just lock the new Vixens coach in her office. And it'd be fine, and there's no repercussions. So, like, yeah, exactly. No, you can't do that. So when Betty does suggest this, the rest of the gang don't even comment on the weirdness of that, but instead decide to play along, like, oh, hey, yeah, we could do this or this or this or this or this, which then inspires Jughead, who's just found out that he can get accepted to the University of Iowa, provided he gives them one more story. And so this sparks his, like, oh, this would be cool. I could tell this story. But Reggie instead decides, like, hey, guys, why don't we just do the biggest prank ever. So we, something that'll be talked about for years. And this is, it's an oldie but a goodie. Katie, again, I go to your 1 year of public school. Did you do any pranks during your senior year?
No. I mean, as for the school in general, I don't know if they did a senior prank. As far as I know, a senior prank is something that only exists on TV because I didn't know anything about it. But like, I didn't know a lot of people, and I was a theater kid on top of that. So I don't know if that even happened. I don't know. Was there senior pranks at your school or chat at your schools? Because I have no idea.
No, I always do like the senior ditch day. Yeah. But other than that, there was never like senior prank day. We're like, hey, man, we're really going to stick it to somebody. And there was never like anybody in my school talking about like, oh my gosh, man, the class of blank year, whatever it was. Oh, the class of like 91. Holy cow. They really did this awesome prank. Or man, the class of 57, they set fire to part of the school. It was cool. No, I never heard anything like that ever talked about. So Reggie's practical prank is like, hey, we're just going to glue everything up in Principal Emily's office. So if he sits on his chair, he's stuck. If he tries to pick up the phone, he's stuck. And it'll be hilarious that EMTs have to come and wheel him out of his office. Katie, what did you think of Reggie's practical joke? Because I thought it was very lame.
It was, honestly, but I like Reggie as a character for the most part, but he's not very innovative. I feel like he takes the ideas that he hears and just elaborates on them. I mean, with the whole tickle fetish thing, it wasn't his idea. He just took it from someone else. So I'm not really surprised that that was what Reggie thought of.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, yeah, Reggie takes other ideas and makes them worse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So yeah. It's like,
I don't know, Reggie. Your reputation as an idea man, not very good here in Riverdale.
All right. Tony Stark said, I loved Reggie because I did the exact same thing for my senior prank, which was pretty fun. All right. External Shockwave said, nope, never had a prank day. Alley Cat Diva said, I had a senior prank where the seniors wrapped our school lobby with toilet paper. All right. So there's like 50-50 on the school prank things. But that's really funny, Tony. So like you said, Reggie takes the ideas of others and just copycats or whatever.
Tony Stark, feel free to chime in the chat. Did with your prom at stake for your senior prank? I gotta know, did anybody rat anybody else out? Because that's what Principal Honey threatens everybody. Because hey, unless somebody says who was responsible for this, the prom is off.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like when Cheryl gets mad about that, I'm like, why does she care? She's not going anyway. Because, and I did like it because as you talked about it last week, is that her musical number was so inappropriate and creepy that she goes, that was Principal Honey didn't like my inappropriate choice of song. So I'm banned from prom. But she thought she was going to crash it. So it's like, oh, I'm really mad that it's not happening now because now I can't crash it.
But she can't plan it either. I think that was the reason she was upset, is because as student body president, that is something mm-hmm. she is responsible for. And then she does mention, I'm the first senior class president who doesn't get to be a part of making prom happen. So I feel like it was also her legacy and not just not being able to go.
Yeah, it's which I assume we'll see the prom next year. So we'll get to see that. So we'll reserve our judgment to the themes and our adventures, if any, that we had for our senior prom. Until that episode comes by. Mine will be very disappointing. Don't worry, everybody. So this is where the story kind of splits apart for the episode. So we kind of intertwine bits and pieces of Jughead writing the fictionalized story if they had had it for their prank, which feels weird to call it a prank, but take Mr. Honey, tie him up, bring him up to this cabin, and start maple boarding him until he agrees to leave town. I don't know why they thought this would be a prank. Oh, this is a prank that went too far. No, kidnapping a teacher and pouring maple syrup in his face, that's not really, that crosses being a prank. Katie.
Yeah.
Would I've never heard of maple boarding.
No.
But we get to see it in this episode. And we see Principal Honey sticking to his guns. I mean, I guess that's a fictionalized story. So yeah. I mean, it's going to, everything that happens in this is going to be whatever Jughead wants. So it feels weird to talk about people's motivations or reasons or rationales for thoughts. But did you like the idea that we got to see Jughead's story kind of come to life throughout the episode?
I did. I do enjoy a story where you kind of dramatize something that someone's already written, whether it be a those, you know, in the crime shows where they do the recreations of a crime. I kind of have a guilty pleasure for those types of scenes. So in that aspect, I kind of enjoyed it, and it did bring a little bit of a different dynamic to it, but still kind of had a little bit of the feel that Riverdale had in their earlier seasons, where it felt more like what it was before all this other stuff happened.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, because it basically, I don't know, I mean, part of of two minds, it's like, that is a much more interesting story than perhaps the story that I'm watching in this episode. And given how outlandish Jughead's story is, it still does fit as a proper escalation of the crazy trajectory that Riverdale has been on over the course of this four seasons.
Yep.
I mean, you know, once we've had people wrestling bears and doing all this stuff, I mean, you know, okay, sure, faking their own deaths and principals as schoolmasters as well as teachers jumping out of windows to their death. Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to tell me that this is what really happened, and, you know, they went really dark and they really kidnapped Principal Honey and tried to do this to him, I could actually buy it the way this show has ramped itself up. So that was the kind of frustrating thing. It's like, well, you're telling me a much more interesting story than the what is reality for this episode. So I don't, at one moment, it's like, why are we spending so much time on this? Why are you making me want to get invested in a story that I know isn't real? So that was the frustrating part about it.
I get that. And the only confusing thing about it was at first when the thing with Reggie happened, the actual prank, I didn't know if it was part of the story or part of the actual plot of what was going on in real life. I was a little bit disconnected, if that makes sense. I thought that was all part of what Jughead had been writing at first. And then I had to step back and realize, oh, that was real? So that was the only problem with that particular situation.
There was one nice shot in there where they transition between reality and the story, where they're walking through the school and they turn a corner and it pans over to Reggie's locker and everybody are like laying flowers down and putting these little memorial signs on his locker to indicate that Reggie has died. And I was like, oh, that was a nice smooth transition to take us from reality to the fictional story that was being told.
Yeah.
And we find out that Reggie is dead because he was starting to crack underneath the pressure. It was too much. Which, I mean, I guess is true, I suppose. Like, if anybody was going to crack, I don't know if anybody was going to crack. It would seem like it would probably be Kevin. Do you think Kevin would crack first?
No.
You think Reggie would be the first one?
I don't know that Reggie would be the first one, but Reggie has less experience with dead bodies, given the quote that he said that I found funny, where he was like, am I the only one who hasn't had to get rid of a dead body? And so in that sense, it made sense, but this is the tough guy who was kind of somewhat helping control the Bonhui. So
yeah,
it was a little forced, a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you don't know the person and you're just reading it, like, you know, the college is reading it, they don't know Reggie's character. All right, it works.
Yeah. Well, he almost blabs what he's done to a couple of members of the football team. And Archie's like, no, man, you got to get it together. And the next thing we know, we find out that somebody cut his brake lines. And now Reggie's dead because he was going to blab. He was, you know, that's the thing. So, you know, your secret is only as good as your weakest link.
Yeah.
Katie, I got to be honest. What do you think? If you were part of a murder pact in high school, your senior year, your 1 year of public school, you got together with some theater kids and you killed a teacher, how well do you think you'd be able to hold that secret? Or would you be like, Reggie, let the guilt get to you?
Well, I mean, theater kids versus your normal people who can't act, I feel like they probably would have done a little bit better. I mean, they're paid to fool people. So in that sense, I feel like we would have done all right. I am personally not an actress, but I would have probably just not been around. I didn't really hang out with people from school outside of school, so I wouldn't really have to worry about it. I feel like the only people I hung out with were the people who would have been involved.
True. So you don't have to worry about people thinking like, huh, Katie's acting different, isn't
no.
she? No.
Yeah, and it would be people that I could have already been talking about it with since we all had lunch together. We all spent time together, and then when I would go home, and that was it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We see Cheryl starts melting down about everything. We feel like, hey, Cheryl's going to be next to get killed, but we never progress the storyline that much farther than that. But how would you have imagined Jughead was going to kill off Cheryl in this fictionalized story?
I don't know. Just try. That's all I'm going to say. Cheryl is not going to go down easily. She's been through some pretty messed up stuff. And she's also really good with a bow and arrow, which we haven't seen in a while. So
very true.
Tony, she's also a badass. So I don't know how he would be able to take down Cheryl unless he had to have something happen with Tony or her family. I don't know how else he could go about it. So she's the smartest one. In my opinion, she is the smartest one.
That's true. Cause I mean, like Reggie cutting a brake line, he loves that car. He's always driving it. Okay. But I mean, everything that Cheryl really enjoys is a lot more public, like being part of the Vixens. I don't know if there's something you could really do there to make it seem like it was an accidental death, because it's too public. There's too risky, too many people seeing something go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how you would. And then she's always at home with Tony for the most part. So
yeah.
It's like, So I'd be curious to see how that would pull off. But. We never get to see the conclusion to that because of what happens in reality here. We do find out that, of course, tapes have been being sent. We see Cheryl. I mean, Cheryl's tape has ended up with Charles, Betty, and Jughead. And they suggest scanning through more tapes. And when the threat of the prom comes along, being canceled, all the kids get together and they bring their parents in. We get to see finally, which we've seen plenty of slow-mo shots of Veronica walking through the halls of Riverdale High or Cheryl. Katie, how much did you enjoy seeing the parents get their slow-mo shot walking through the halls of Riverdale High?
I was happy we saw the parents get involved. We mentioned it last week how what we would want to see from the parents versus and we talked about it a little bit last week, and so we did kind of get that this week. We did see the parents get their own plot where they come in, and you know as soon as Archie's mom gets involved, like, you messed up, don't even try. Just walk away, Mr. Honey, because you do not want to mess with her.
Yeah, it was a very not strong stance by Principal Honey. As soon as Mary starts talking, that was it. Like, well, sure, we're going to go in the office and talk about it, but we cut immediately to Pops with the result that everybody's expecting, which is that the prom's back in. And we get to hear, which I thought was weird, all these speeches or mini speeches from the different parents praising all the kids and how great they were and how much they deserve this. Like, I don't know about that, guys.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
The prom is going to be back. But we find out, though, that Principal Honey has a tape that he supposedly has gotten. And this tape, which he shows Charles, Betty, and Jughead, shows somebody with the camera going all around Riverdale High. I mean, it seemed pretty obvious right there that Honey did this himself. Were you at all... Did you at all fall for that at all? Or did you know, like, Honey probably did this to himself?
I knew it was Honey. As soon as it happened, I was like, convenient. Convenient that the school gets a tape right after you fail to cancel the prom. Really, dude? that was dumb.
And the other thing they find out, Betty finds out through her research on Honey, is that every school that he's been prior to Riverdale, he's managed to cancel every single prom. I'm like, what? I'd be curious, but that's the kind of thing that makes me like, what is Honey's deal about having fun? I mean, whether he's been an authoritarian, I mean, but still, why do you feel a need to cancel prom consistently?
That's what I'm wondering is, I was really hoping they, when Betty dug deeper behind it, I was hoping they would give us a reason as to why he had this thing against prom. You know, did something bad happen at his prom? Did, you know, what happened at his prom? Is he worried about something at prom? And they never gave us any reason for that. And it was a little frustrating. I think I was still thinking about it afterwards. Like, why does he not like prom? What's his problem?
Yeah. No, I feel like there was more about Honey's past that I was like, it would have been kind of good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen him display plenty of kind of creepy behavior or jerkish behavior or mean behavior. But we also, by the end of the episode, kind of see the stuff that we never got to see really on camera about all the good that he's done, which... Yeah. I mean, I guess from this type of show where the perspective is more on, you know, the kids and the students than it is the parents or any adults, I guess we're only going to see it from, mostly from their point of view about them being constantly shut down or stopped. And I guess maybe that's like life. I don't know, yeah. Katie. Does it seem like life where people that you thought were being very tough on you were really doing it for your own good, and it was only later you realized the good that they were doing?
I think that's very typical, especially with the generational gaps, not just high schoolers to adults, but even, you know, adults to elders. You never want to take what those people are saying to heart and really think that they have it your best interest, because you always want to think you know what's best, and you don't. None of us do, but we constantly think we do. So in that sense, I did enjoy that they did touch on that. You don't always know what's going on. There's two sides of every story. You're only looking at the side of what your tunnel vision is allowing you to see. Like, I typed that I was torn behind thinking Mr. Honey was the bad guy and thinking Mr. Honey was just genuinely doing his job. Now, he is a little sketchy. He has some ghosts and, you know, skeletons in his closet that make him a little sketchy. But as far as his job as principal, until we found out the, you know, the reveal that he had done this before, I genuinely was thinking, no, he's doing what he should do. He's taking a stand against these kids who are being a little childish. I do think they were being a little childish, but I understand why they did it, and I understand why he did it. So.
Yeah. Betty is able to find a couple frames of the video that Principal Honey gave them, where you see Principal Honey holding the video camera in the frame, kind of reflected off some glass that's showing off some trophies. One, come on, Principal Honey, because it looks like the way that photo is, it's like he's looking through the viewfinder, seeing what he's recording. How would you not have seen yourself? Get out of here.
He doesn't think about it?
I guess not.
You know, I feel like most people who don't video stuff a lot would make that mistake, like a rookie mistake.
Yeah, or that anybody's going to take the time to watch all that footage again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Betty finds it, prints out a photo, and delivers it to Principal Honey and says, you busted now. And he gets fired. And everybody's like, yeah, hey, all right, we got rid of this jerk. And Principal Honey comes out and says, hey, I already thought this, something like this was going to happen. So I set myself up. I already got a job over at Stonewall Prep. They're cleaning the house. They want somebody cool. Katie, it seemed weird to me. It's like, but wait a second. If Stonewall Prep found out that this is how you got fired from this job, wouldn't that give them cause to, like, maybe we're not going to give you this job?
I mean, it's Stonewall Prep. They don't really have a good rap sheet for decent teachers from what we learned. I mean, there's all sorts of shady stuff that goes on there. So I feel like it gets swept under the rug.
Yeah, but it's like, if they're cleaning house over what happened last time, I would think anybody that they hired, they'd really want to make sure it was completely above board. And certainly this job was offered before he got fired. But once they learn that he was fired and why, you would think like, all right, maybe we're not, maybe you're not still want prep material now. So I'll be curious to see if he still does get that job or they say like, no, we're taking that back. But while everybody's like kind of like basking in the awesomeness, like, we got rid of this jerk. It's great. Prom can happen again now. Yeah. Miss Ball comes in and kind of schools them on like all the great stuff that Principal Honey's done throughout the year, whether it's giving students, helping students get full tuition, full rides to schools, the GPAs for all the grade point average of the school's gone up, the highest that it's been in, you know, so many years. And she even has a letter to the University of Iowa that she was going to mail on behalf of Jughead, and she doesn't. She gives it to Jughead. I'm glad to see Miss Ball get a scene. Just like for the hot seconds that we've seen her every so often in the course of this series.
Yeah, Jazzy Jones asking why she's not principal and she's been there for so long. I thought the same thing. I was like, why isn't she principal?
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, I mean, maybe she will be now. Maybe.
Maybe. She'll finally get her chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. What do you think in terms of enticing jobs? Is the being the principal of Riverdale High?
When she said how many principals they've gone through in her time at the school, I thought, how are they still finding principals to be at this school? Because clearly it's the school. The school is messed up. So how are they still getting principals? That's the one thing I thought of, was it's them. It isn't the person who's running it.
Yeah, I mean, if I had heard that, just in what we have seen, that there's been a principal that was murdered, there's one that went into a cult, one that I guess just got fired because he fake videotaped a creepy video to get the prom canceled. Just those three things alone would give me pause to think, like, what's going on with this town? Why would I want to move there? Get involved with these yahoos? But Jughead takes a while to open this letter that was being sent, and finally does open it and reads it. And I don't know, Katie, I felt this moment was really overacted and overplayed, because he reads this letter and then immediately races like his life depends on it to get upstairs and do something. And basically it's just to change the ending of the story. And it seemed way too like urgent for what the stakes really were.
Yeah. I at first I thought he was going to say something about not wanting them to read the actual story. And so he was trying to cover his tracks some, but it was a little weird to me when you find out why he did it. But I did like the message behind it, you know, how originally he was saying, you know, originally the quote was like, we're all monsters, and he wanted to paint them in a better light. So I get it. It was a little like, though, so you blinked and you missed it. Like, all right.
Yeah, I didn't know why the way the camera, like, it does like one of those great like little pull out shots where it kind of elongates the scene for a little bit. And then we see Jughead, he's going to race upstairs, thinking you probably just could have read that letter and then just like, I gotta change the ending of my story. And then just calmly walked upstairs and changed it. I don't know why they needed to make it seem so life-threatening in the moment.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, that was it? So Jughead ends up changing the ending of the story, where instead of Principal Honey dying and everybody turning on each other, he's alive. Everybody's going to deal with the consequences. I mean, there's some disagreement about whether they should have saved his life or not, but it's like, no, we can't let somebody die.
Yeah,
we got to deal with the consequences of our actions. So seems like all is well and good until Jellybean shows up with a videotape. And on that videotape is a recreation of Mr. Honey getting killed by the gang in their little funny masks. And it looks like they just killed some dude for reals in this scene.
Yes.
Yeah. Whoever this was wearing that sad Principal Honey mask. And then they all look creepily at the camera. So, not intended to be the season finale, but it is a creepy image to end the season on.
Very creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm down with that. That's interesting enough to kind of tide me over until the season starts again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I will be curious to see, because, I mean, this is edited at episode 19. There was going to be 22 episodes a season. So this was going to wrap up by the end of the season. But I wonder if they will still have that plan to wrap it up in 3 episodes and then start another storyline. Will next season be all this stuff? You've got many questions about that as well. If only there was a way for us to find out that information. What if we toss it to the blue and gold?
Yeah. So, there was some talk in the chat room before we started. So some of the news, because the season is ending, of course, the number one question we all had was, what are they going to do about the final 3 episodes? And Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, I know I'm probably not saying his name right, but he said he was talking to E! Online, and it said, I'll be honest with you, we had ideas about like the whole time jump situation that everybody's been wondering if they're going to do a time jump to line up with Katie Keene. And he said, we had ideas about it pre-corona. And right now we're in a room meeting via Zoom, weighing all of our options. Time jumps are especially good in between seasons. But now that we're kind of not doing that, we're looking at all the other options. They said, instead of theoretically ending season 4 with graduation and beginning season 5 by jumping 5 years ahead to catch up to Katie Keene, the first 3 episodes of season 5 will pick up where the finale left off, making for an inevitably awkward transition after episode 3. So they're trying to figure out how they're going to go about it, since they can no longer do the same things that they would have done had it ended on time. And then also the other question was, well, what about Skeet Ulrich and Marisol Nichols, who are leaving the show at the end of season 4? So the question was, what are they doing about that? And he also addressed that they will have their departure next season. So within those like 3 episodes that they originally were, they will resolve those characters because they could not do it this season. But he did confirm, because he said we want to be able to keep it open for them to come back in the future. He officially confirmed that they're not dying. So that's kind of a little silver lining. We don't have to see FP die. So I was happy about that. So yeah, that's kind of what we had for news, was those updates. And that was posted a couple days ago. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be kind of interesting with that. For me, I'm fine if they wanted to just do 3 episodes. I mean, whether the episode counts increased for next season. So they end up doing 25 episodes because of this, or they just stick with their standard 22. I'm fine with, after the 3rd episode, just start 5 years later. It's fine. I don't think anybody's going to be confused by that.
Yeah. But I think that they're trying to not have it be quite as awkward of a transition. So I get it, but we'll see. If it works, it works. I mean, they did it in Arrow for a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy enough to think like Archie and the gang getting a photograph of them graduating from high school with caps and gowns on, yeah. Which transitions to being a photograph that one of them is holding, like looking back at this, and it's 5 years in the future.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, okay, now how do we move on from there? I think the time jump would be a great idea for the show, because we can just get to different iterations of these characters and different status quos, and we don't have to, and then just find out how things have changed. I think it'll be much more interesting to just jump to where the characters are at.
Yeah.
So, but we still have to figure out, do they all kind of return to Riverdale? Is that what happens 5 years later? They come back from college, all the stuff, and they're all reuniting back in Riverdale after that.
I feel like they have to.
Yeah. I mean, cause it seems weird. I don't know if you could, yeah. But then also, for as much as they wanted to get out of this town, and they've all gone to all these different colleges for the most part. I mean, Reggie's the community college. I understand that.
Yeah.
Is their end goal to come back to Riverdale? I don't know.
I think something's going to pull them back to Riverdale. That's how these things normally work.
Some mystery. There's going to be some reason that they've got to come back as adults now to solve some mystery that's been happening. Folks, we got before we wrap up, I mean, our last chance for a class president and class clown. Who could it be? We're going to give it a chance to kind of vote for the best and mock the worst. Yes. Katie, who are your class president and class clown?
All right. At first, I put that Mr. Honey was both class president and class clown, because he had some moments where he actually stood up and was actual principal. So for that, he's class president. But he's class clown for the videotape thing and the shady stuff he does. So he's both. He's both my class clown and class president.
Hmm. All right. Yeah. You know, I'm gonna throw out for Miss Bell. I'm gonna give her some love. Say, hey, she stood up and she let those kids know what the real deal was about Principal Honey. So I'll give her class president. Class clown. I mean, Mr. Honey for doing that stupid videotape. That's pretty dumb. I don't know how he thought that was actually gonna fly. I mean, I would have gone for Reggie, but Reggie and his dumb prank. That's so close. So close. That was such a terrible prank. But I'll go with Principal Honey.
Gotcha. Well, some earlier in the chat, I asked before we started, and Eternal Shockwave said class president, Mr. Honey, because he's actually a good principal, and class clown is the students thinking that Honey would leave Riverdale. He's going to Stonewall. Yeah. Accurate. I agree with that as well. And then Amy said, Amy McCutton, I think is the name, said class president is Jughead and Betty, and class clown is Mr. Hunt. And then let's see, Classic Slater just sent his in and says, or I don't know gender, sorry, my bad. Class president is Jelly Bean for always getting a 5-minute spotlight.
I will be curious to see who's involved with this, because it was one thing when it was when the recreations were just of two people.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was, you know, Jason Blossom and his dad killing them, or somebody smashing Jughead's head, Betty smashing Jughead's rock. But now you've got like seven people stabbing Mr. Honey. So I will be curious to see who this huge group of people are, because it's more than just one or two people kind of involved in this. So if it's Chicken Charles, they're not working alone. There's certainly got a huge other group of people. Who are these folks? I haven't seen anything on Canvas to really on the show so far to make me think like, oh yeah, it could probably be these guys.
Yeah.
You know, and what do you think about Jelly Bean? I know people have said like, hey, Jelly Bean might be involved with this because she's the one that brought them the videotape, saying that she found it on the front step.
I don't think so. that would be weird. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, they're saying like that could be a way that FP ends up leaving the show is because Jelly Bean's kind of messed up in something she shouldn't be. FP realizes that I got to get her out of Riverdale, and that's why he leaves town. Maybe. Folks, the season has come to an end. Our time together has come to an end. But we'll be back in the fall whenever Riverdale decides to come back. We're all anxiously waiting to see how this storyline that was supposed to end this season wraps up at the beginning of next season. But as always, thanks for joining us. Like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat all season long. Supporting us here as the panel in this new iteration that we were doing it here over Zoom. You've been very faithful, and we really appreciate that. But if you want to stay in touch with either of us, even after the season's over, Katie, where can they find you?
You folks can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at KT_Christine with a C. Or, pardon me, on the Batwoman After Show tomorrow. So, and shout out to Tony Stark, External Shock, Shockdown, Nicholas, Billy Jingle, all of you for being here and being so tuned in every single week. We appreciate you so much.
Absolutely. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. I'll be releasing my LP of all my intro songs. and my concert dates and tour dates will be announced very soon. So, follow me there so you can keep up to date. Folks, that's going to do it for this season of Riverdale, but we'll be back next season with all new episodes right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.